Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Take another caller, Dick of Madison. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, this vote that supposedly would come about the insurrection on the 6th of January. As I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the House can move on without this and actually call people as witnesses, just like they did with Benghazi. And the whole thing is supposedly predicated on Mitch McConnell doesn't want this out there in the news. He thinks it's going to hurt him in the 2022 midterms. Well, how about if we just drag him through the coals for the whole next year and a half until we get to the bottom of this? Because right now, I wish I would have been smart enough to say something like this. Patrick Moynihan, we're at a point of knowing a fair amount about something we don't know. And that's where we're at with this right now. Until we actually get to it and find out what happened so that it doesn't happen again. And then our wonderful Senator Johnson, I think he's in it up to his ears. I really do. Why would he?
And he dissed Brian Sicknick's mom, Mrs. Sicknick. He dissed her. And he dissed Brian Sicknick's lady friend, his companion who lived with him. He dissed them. Brian Sicknick died. He was squirted with bear spray and had a stroke. They say, oh, well, anybody who squirted with grizzly bear spray would get a stroke. So, yeah, right. Give me a break. Dick, thanks for calling in. Because one of the main things that you said that I think has to be followed up on is this. And that is that Nancy Pelosi can do this by herself. You do not need Senate approval to do a House investigation. We have the majority. She will do that. There will be an investigation. This whole exercise in trying to get the Senate to go along is to give the American people the comfort that this is bipartisan. And it is bipartisan. 35 members of the House Republican caucus voted for it in the House. 35 members. And in the Senate, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, both support it. Susan Collins, as usual, a weasel, as always, said she supports it with a few tweaks. But flat out, Nancy Pelosi can say it's bipartisan in the House, 35 members. And in the Senate, Moscow Mitch and the rest said they were for it. Then they chickened out, afraid of Trump. But Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney are for it. It's bipartisan, and then just do it. You're right. They can do subpoenas. They can get it and so on. But this way, the Republicans, if it were a vote of the Senate, couldn't lie and say it wasn't bipartisan. If it is just the House, they'll say it's partisan. And then they will ignore that 35 congressmen and at least two senators who are Republicans are for it. So it's a bit of that. It will happen, and it should happen. Thanks for calling. Bill of Shorewood, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. I want to call your attention to a blog. There's a guy in Madison named Jake, who has a blog. It's a very detailed analysis. The guy's an economist. A very detailed analysis of Wisconsin economics. He goes through the Joint Finance Committee announcements every day. He goes through the Legislative Fiscal Bureau announcements every day. And then he puts up a very informative newsletter, and the way you get it, you Google on Jake has a blog, all one word, Jake has a blog .blogspot.com. Jake has a blog .blogspot.com, and you'll find a wealth of information. This guy is very good, and when you try to figure out the complexity of what the Wisconsin GOP is doing to the budget, and just the other day, the school budget. All of that is laid out in detail with the underlying documents referred to.
Yeah, that is outstanding. I have looked at that, and for the benefit of all of my listeners, what Bill of Shorewood said is very important. I want to underline it. Go to Jake has a blog, no punctuation, no spaces. Jake has a blog at blogspot.com. This guy had been in the PhD program in economics in Madison, UW-Madison, one of the best econ departments in the country. He then went on to other things, didn't get the PhD directly in terms of the dissertation. But this guy, this blog, you know, a lot of the stuff we talk about, they should have taken this money, they didn't take that money. You want to see it in Ducks and Bunnies? You want to see it in a way that everybody understands, even if they're not economists? Jake has a blog at blogspot.com. Just try it. Try it a couple of times, and you will see the next time you're talking to people and, you know, I'm not on the air, this one's not on the air, that one's not on the air, you will get it reduced to absolutely understandable language, and I strongly encourage it. Bill, thanks for calling in. Tom of McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Tom?
Well, yeah, I think you brought up a good point as far as the need for a bipartisan approach within this commission. And again, one of the things I always maintain, Democrats are great at governing, they're lousy at politics. And House, it passed bipartisanly. And within the Senate, it would have passed bipartisan. There's going to be more than 50 senators voting for this. And it looks like, you know, at last count, there might be as many as 4 Republican senators that will be voting for that. And I think that we need to hammer home that under normal circumstances, that would have passed. However, with the filibuster, the Republicans are the ones that are blocking it. It's not that this didn't pass bipartisanly. It did. But the Republicans make the filibuster now seem like a normal standard operating procedure in the Senate. And it's not. It's actually historically abnormal. So, you know, the more that we hammer home the message to the voters, that the reason why it did not pass in the Senate isn't because of lack of bipartisanship, quite the opposite. It's because of obstruction on the part of the Republicans. And I think that message plays out rather well in the 2022, you know, midterms, that the Republicans would rather cover up for Trump rather than find out the truth, especially when you look at their rhetoric after the insurrection and how many Republicans were saying that this was a travesty, that, you know, McConnell himself came out after that saying that Trump was responsible. So now they're saying that we need to cover for Trump because it's going to be, you know, politically advantageous for us. Well, I think that he's misreading the leaves on that one. But I certainly agree with you that it has to be bipartisan just so that, you know, we can send the message to the American and to the Republicans, like, the Trumplicans, as I call them, that the American people are not on their side, and we're certainly not going to cover for would-be tyrants. Thank you.
Yeah, that is an excellent point, and everybody pay attention to that. In other words, this is passing bipartisan. It passed with all the Democrats and 35 Republicans in the House. It'll pass with all the Democrats and at least 2 and 3 and probably 4. So it'll pass 54-46 in the Senate, and it'll pass to something like 270 or 80 to, 220 or something in the House. It's bipartisan. The idea of the filibuster is supposed to be used rarely. It isn't supposed to be used to obstruct. It's supposed to be used if in the Senate, if the senators have real concerns, even if they're in the minority, you got to go back to the drawing boards. It has become a weapon, the filibuster. The filibuster is a weapon simply to immobilize any Democratic presidency, immobilize it, and then stall it, give them no, quote, victories, end quote, even though that's what the American people need so they can get a Republican in. That's not the purpose of it. There's a couple of things we can do. One intermediate thing we could do is restore that you have to get up on your hind legs and actually talk. You don't let Moscow Mitch go, we filibuster, okay, that's it, sorry. No, no, no. The filibuster, even the civil rights era, you have to command the floor. So somebody like Cotton or Hawley or Cruz would have to get up and speak for hours. And they speak about stupid things, and they would read, you know, Shakespeare and the Bible and so on. Then they're about to faint and they say, I yield my time. They can do that to another right wing nut who's betraying the country, and he'll get up and do it. And at some point, people look at that and they go, these people are obstructionists. By letting Moscow Mitch just wave his pinky and say, we filibuster, that was not the deal. That was not the original filibuster. The second thing, Manchin's got to come to some understanding here, Manchin and Sinema. We have 50 people with you can get rid of the filibuster with just majority. You don't need a filibuster majority, and you can get rid of it on a case by case basis. If I'm Manchin, I go, okay, we're being obstructed. I'm getting rid of the filibuster for the January 6th commission for fair maps and voting rights and SB 1 and HR 1. Get rid of gerrymandering. And then we're going to use budget reconciliation to put through infrastructure. And that's the way it's going to be. And then we'll leave it for everything else. And then we'll see how they do it. If Moscow Mitch starts fooling around on other things, I'm going to go to him privately and say, Moscow Mitch, if you have some legitimate amendments or something, let me hear about them. Let me hear about them. But I want to hear about them real quick, Moscow Mitch, because I will vote to get rid of the filibuster for this one too. My solution, get rid of the filibuster bill by bill. Get rid of it for HR 1 and SB 1. If they do not get rid of gerrymandering, and if they don't get rid of interference in elections, a lot of the swing state Republican legislatures are putting in voter suppression. You can only get rid of that with the federal bill. So come on, Manchin, come on, step up to the plate. And on the January 6th commission, step up to the plate. We've already gotten COVID relief. Let's get infrastructure through budget reconciliation, which is a term that means you only need 50 plus one votes. So then you could technically leave in the filibuster. He can go back to West Virginia and say, I left in the filibuster. But this isn't the filibuster that they're doing. This isn't people even obstructing civil rights in 1964. That filibuster. These guys got up on their hind legs and actually had to talk for a long time. These people here don't get up on their hind legs for anything. They just sit like porch dogs looking out. Moscow Mitch raises a pinky and goes, I filibustered. No, no, no. That's not the way it works. And the guys in West Virginia will understand that. West Virginia has the highest percentage of Medal of Honor winners per capita of any state in the country. They're patriots. They know what's going on. Not going to put up with this. We need some enthusiasm, some moxie, you know, in the leadership. We need it real quick. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.